horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Good morning, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. It is absolutely beautiful here. Here it is, April the 12th, 2025. Good morning, Miss Tammy.
Good morning.
Is it beautiful where you are?
Oh, yes. Beautiful sunshine.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's so funny. Right after the chemtrails, the very first day of sunshine, I feel like all that stuff's falling on us and we're feeling like, I can't even think. I'm like, I got to go take a nap. But now it's been pretty for several days and it's really just very refreshing. It's beautiful. The birds are singing and all the flowers are blooming. It's really beautiful. And today is Passover. After this, I'm going to do a little video. So definitely go back over onto my social media. I'm probably going to post it here on Rumble too, just a snippet about Passover. But today we are studying, of course, our end time study. And today is Alleluia Forever, the chapter 22. This is actually study number 23, but of the end times and 1,000 years of peace study guide. So I hope you guys did your homework, and we're going to talk today very interestingly about, of course, we're going to defeat the enemy, yay, and then enter 1,000 years of peace, yay, and then also talking about that over us, over them, over somebody, death holds no power. So it's like, what is that about? So we are going to see, but we already know that we're getting, you know, we're going to have life extension. We'll live as long as trees. We already know that. So something cool is up, and I don't know. I'm ready to hear in the chat what you guys, if you did your homework and you know, have some great ideas. So let's pray. Thank you again, Lord. We praise you that you are the King of the world, that you defeated our enemies, and that we're watching you do it right here in real time, that our enemies will fall and be gone. As you say in your word, we'll look for our enemies. We won't be able to find them, and we'll have these beautiful days of health and wealth and peace. Thank you, Lord, that the peace is going to settle over this world. Thank you, Lord, that your healing is going to settle over this world. No more of these diseases that have plagued us, Lord, and we just can't wait for that day. Lord, as we study your word, we just ask you to bless us, teach us, touch our minds, touch our hearts, help us to see things with a fresh set of eyes and understand these things and know that you're right here with us and guiding us through, and you're going to defeat these enemies. We pray for everyone on the battalion. Just continue to strengthen them and guide them and protect them, Lord, as you have this whole time until we are the survivors of this great battle of Armageddon. And for those of you, of those who don't understand this, I would just pray, Lord, that you would touch their hearts and help them to find this information so that they can be filled with hope and joy, knowing that we are going to have beautiful days in this golden age. We pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. All right, let's go. Let's go. For those of you who don't know, this is the website freedomforce.live, freedomforce.live. And we have tons of resources over there for you. So go and see. You'll make sure to find the real social media right there. This is lots of great health tips. This is where the videos are right here. And so you can catch up on any of the study guides videos that you missed. And definitely go and check out the end times page, freedomforce.live/endtimes. Share that with people. Say, hey, maybe you need to, this is something different to look at. Maybe this is something you might be interested in, and come out from under the bed. The fear, no more fear at all. And also, I've got audiobooks over here if you'd like to listen to books rather than read them. And here that are the books here, right, that we're doing End Times in 1,000 Years of Peace, but we're doing the study guide, and actually I've got the answer key, so hopefully you guys got the real one without the answers in it, and you're, you know, doing it yourself. This is the page that you can share with people about End Times. Don't forget, hit the like button. Hit the button right now. Hit the button, and thank you for sharing, and thank you for subscribing, and make sure your bell is rung. All right, Tammy, you ready to do this?
I am.
Okay, this is the very first portion, a big, big portion of this chapter 19 of Revelation is just thanking the Lord for what he is doing to save the world. This is the great thing I just constantly say, and I won't stop saying it. You know, many people think that the world's getting destroyed, but the world is getting rescued. And this is what they're thanking him for, that he's rescuing the world. Okay, go ahead, Miss Tammy, read that for us.
Yes. Just imagine what it will be like when Babylon has finally fallen after what humanity has been through for all these years. What will be the response of humanity? Praise, 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 and more praise. After this, I heard what sounded like a vast crowd in heaven shouting, "Praise the Lord! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. His judgments are true and just. He has punished the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality. He has avenged the murder of his servants." And again, their voices rang out, "Praise the Lord! The smoke from that city ascends forever and ever." Then the 24 elders and the 4 living beings fell down and worshiped God, who was sitting on the throne. They cried out, "Amen, praise the Lord." And from the throne came a voice that said, "Praise our God, all his servants, all who fear him, from the least to the greatest." Then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd, or the roar of mighty ocean waves, or the crash of loud thunder. "Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns."
Everybody's joining in the praise party. Everybody is so excited because the Lord has delivered us. He's punished, as it says in verse 2, punished the great prostitute, the harlot. We did that one, I think it was last week, 2 weeks ago. The harlot who corrupted the earth is just obviously the minions of the New World Order, with all that the lies and the lies and the lies and the... Oh, it caused people to take jabs and all that. So they've corrupted the earth with their immorality. They've avenged the murder. The Lord will avenge the murder of his servants. The murder, the flat out, straight up murder is exactly what they've done. But the Lord has seen us through, you guys. We are here. We're alive. We're going to live. Humanity's going to live. And, you know, they're not going to be able to snuff out humanity. That's what their goal, and it's not going to happen. We are going to live. And their voices are ringing out, just thank you so much, Lord. Praise the Lord that he is over this. This is the whole point of Easter, is that he is the victor over the grave, and he's the victor over Satan and his minions. Praise the Lord. We're joining with them, along with the mighty ocean waves. I think yes, the ocean can praise the Lord, and the thunder can too, but it's really, it's the people. The vast crowd, it sounds like a vast, you know, this basically all of humanity. And I cannot wait until the day when everybody realizes what the Lord has done in rescuing humanity. That's what we're all experiencing. And so, yeah, they still see so many people fear-mongering. So thank you for you guys sharing this so people will realize that is not the truth. We're going to have the beautiful, bright days and be saved from our enemies. All right. So based on that, who will praise the Lord? We just talked about that. Everybody, mm-hmm. People in heaven, people on earth, and they will, you know, they'll say praise the Lord because, as I said before, what did I say in the book in verse 3? That he has the power to do this, right?
Mm-hmm. Back on this 3?
Number 3. Because he reigns.
We're on question 3. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
The Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. God is in control. We have nothing to
Amen.
Fear.
Amen. Amen. That's the main thing, is that people, you know, that they're giving praise that he is the Almighty. He is in control. He is sovereign over everything. Nothing can stop what is coming.
And what's really, sorry.
Go ahead. No.
Well, it's really exciting to watch it. I feel like the big guys are really battling it out, and the battle's getting closer, and we're seeing it. And you wake up and you're okay, even though they're saying the mark is up, the mark's down, things are happening, we're still okay.
Here we are. Here we are. Yeah, as long as we just don't be a panicking.
Right, don't panicking.
Don't be a panicking.
Japanican, no panicking, all of it.
Right. None of that. So very, very exciting to watch this. I really do feel that the battle has kind of surfaced.
Yes.
For all this time, we've had this, the battles going underground, you know, no, people didn't realize what was really going on. Even with COVID, didn't think, oh, that's just, you know, kind of normal. No, now we realize we're literally at war against the CCP, the New World Order. Okay. And so everybody realizes that now, and this is it. All right. So then, what ceremony is celebrated? Did you guys get this? Number four.
Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are true words that come from God.
Yes, we're having a wedding. We're having a wedding. That's what we're fast approaching, you know, and I really do think that that's a lot about that song that President Trump plays so many times is at the end of that song. This Nessun Dorma is about the wedding. It's a wedding song. Nessun Dorma is a wedding song. And listen to the words and tell me what you think. That's really... We're about to have a wedding, and I love, because we're not going we're going into the millennial kingdom, which is also called the golden age, but we're not going into the heaven on earth where heaven and earth merges. That's when, you know, everyone will be joined back together in heaven and on earth, but that's after the 1,000 years, okay? And then there's a battle after the 1,000 years of peace to finally cast out Satan, and he's destroyed, and death is destroyed at that point, and then heaven and earth merge. But I love that the Lord Jesus is coming to dwell with us. It says as many times in the Bible that he's coming to dwell with us on earth for the millennial kingdom, and he's not waiting for us to be perfect. I love that he, and just like when he was with the disciples, they weren't perfect. They had not been made perfect, you know, spotless. And yes, in one sense, we are spotless. I understand that. But because of the blood of Christ. But in heaven, we'll be literally, you know, perfected. What's the word? Incorruptible and blameless and completely perfect. So, but he's coming because he loves us no matter what. No matter what. So just bask in that today. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb. His bride has prepared herself. We're ready. All of you guys I know are ready. I know everybody on here is ready for this wedding. Blessed are those who are invited. You are invited to this beautiful wedding. We're having Passover tonight, but you know, it's basically like a wedding celebration. But this is what we're experiencing for all of humanity. What a different view that is than what is taught. Most, you know, in the modern church, unfortunately, they're taught that if God hates most of these people, you know, that, or is going to blast them in a nuclear holocaust. That's what's taught. If they don't, you know, shape up, they're going to be, you know, blasted in a nuclear holocaust when the Christians are rescued and have to escape earth. And that's not what the Bible teaches. It's just not. It's not. He says, you know, he's rescuing humanity and that we're all invited. Another place we're going to get to in a second is talking about from every nation, tribe, and tongue, from all over the world. All of his servants all over the world are invited to this wedding feast of the Lamb. And these are true words that come from God. All right. So, and it's about those who are blessed, those who really do follow God, you know, compared to those who are worshiping Satan. It's really two buckets. One bucket or only two buckets. Either you worship God or you worship Satan. Okay? So pick a bucket. All right. So now, number five, which I just talked about. I love that our marriage ceremony happens before we're made incorruptible and sinless. In other words, our husband, our Lord Jesus, accepts us as we are. In his eyes, we're just perfect. Jesus will dwell with us on earth as our king and our husband. Write down your thoughts on what that will be like. So did you have anything you wanted to add to that, Miss Tammy?
No, I thought you were doing it quite nicely.
I love that. Obviously, I love that section.
I know. I can...
All right. So do number six for us.
Okay. In Revelation 19:11, heaven opens and there is a white horse. He who sat upon him is faithful and true. In righteousness, he does judge and make war. Who is this? Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was sitting there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, he judges fairly and wages a righteous war.
Amen. Amen. That was when we opened, that was the passage that was on the opener today. If you listen to the opener, this is the passage that mm-hmm. I was reading. Then I saw heaven opened and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. Of course, this is our Lord Jesus. He's the one on the white horse. Now, earlier when we were studying, remember we had the four horsemen. We had the apocalypse. You've got the white horse and the red horse and the black horse and the pale horse. And of course, that white horse is one who's a counterfeit. This, of course, is the real king of the world, the real one who deserves to wear the crown. So he is the one that truly deserves to be on the white horse, faithful and true. He judges fairly and wages a righteous war. So you can tell that he's not coming in. He's coming in guns blazing, but not to destroy the people who've been mistreated. He's coming to destroy the destroyers, the ones who've intentionally, knowingly tried to harm humanity. People who knew that they were joining in league to deceive and destroy. All right. All right. Anything else to add on number six?
No.
All right. And he loves us. All right. Now, number seven, go.
Okay. According to Revelation 1:7 and other passages, Jesus will return in the clouds. Do you believe Jesus will appear in the literal clouds on a literal white horse? Why or why not? Look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the nations of the world will mourn for him. Yes, amen. And no, I don't believe it's going to be literal clouds. Yeah. I think clouds is you know, a symbol for power and royal authority. So he comes as the one true king, and there will be no dispute.
Amen.
Everyone will know. Every knee will bow.
And I don't think he'll have a sword coming out of his mouth. And I don't think he'll have literal fire in his eyes. Mm. You know, so it's literary symbolism, clearly. But that cloud, but you're right. I think he's coming with the clouds. I think it has two meanings. One mm-hmm. is he comes with the clouds of heaven. So I think this is his angelic host. We are fighting this battle alongside angels. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. And I know President Trump knows that too. If you remember my video that I did, the president's residence has mm-hmm. pictures of his ceiling in his Manhattan apartment. And it's an angelic battle scene going on. And we're fighting alongside angels. He also mm-hmm. has this beautiful statue of Perseus rescuing Andromeda, which is another thing. But if you want to watch that, go watch the president's residence over on my freedomforce.live. All right. So yeah, I believe he's coming with the clouds, and he's also, you know, I will see him. In other words, everyone, as you said, Tammy, will recognize him as the king of the world and have to bow to him, and mm-hmm. all the nations will mourn for him. What do you think? I didn't put down. What do you think that means?
For them mourning for him? They will mourn the things that were, the things that they have to give up because of him coming, I think, is one of the things.
Yeah.
The ones they'll be upset that they didn't recognize him.
I think so.
As the true king through this whole battle, they may have been on the wrong side of the battle.
Right.
And it doesn't mean they don't love the Lord. They just were misinformed.
Exactly. And that's this deception is real. That brainwashing is real stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I mean, we all know people who've been deceived by them. Go ahead.
No, we have two very distinct lines, and I truly believe that both sides of the line love the Lord.
Yes.
And they just truly believe the other one's wrong.
I know, because that brainwashing is so real. But that doesn't mean it's not frustrating to talk with them. I'm just saying. And it doesn't mean that it doesn't cause a lot of rifts in relationships. And I cannot wait for that to be resolved. I just cannot wait. I know all of us feel the same way. Okay, number eight, go.
Yeah. Okay. Acts 1, 9 through 11 describes what happened when our Lord Jesus ascended into heaven. What is your interpretation of Acts 1, 11? Were the angels saying our Lord Jesus will return in the same way or in a mysterious way? So after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. You Galileans, why do you just stand there looking up at the empty sky? This very Jesus who was taken up from among you to heaven will come as certainly and mysteriously as he left.
Amen. I like that. I like the message version, how it puts it. Because it really, I think it's a better import of the verse. It helps you to understand better what they're trying to say. Imagine yourself standing there as like the disciples, and they're sitting there looking at Jesus as he ascends, and now he's gone out of their vision. They can't see him anymore, and he's ascended. He literally ascended, and they're expecting. They don't know what to expect, but they say, you know, he's going to, he will, why are you sitting here looking at an empty sky? He's gone. Get busy. He gave you a job to do. Go get busy. And he said, this very Jesus was taken up from among you to heaven, will come as certainly and mysteriously as he left. I really think that's more accurate. He's coming back. And it's not in the same exact precise way necessarily. Okay. So, I mean, however he chooses to do it is fine. It's fine with me, but I'm just throwing out a different view, a different option from what maybe you have been led to believe. And so I just think that it's a possibility that's not the exact way that he will return. All right. So I just think it's going to be a way that maybe we wouldn't expect. And the honest truth is, if he did come in a cloud, I think everybody everyone would recognize him. Sometimes, and it says he'll come as a thief. So it's likely not going to be on the 6 o'clock news. All right. All right. So number nine.
What does his eyes were as a flame of fire indicate? His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself.
Right. All right, so what do you think the flames of fire are?
I think it is time. That is when he brings down the judgment on the wicked worshipers, and then there will be no doubt. Right now we keep saying, who's it going to be when they're...
Right.
When are we going? There will be no doubt. Justice will be served.
Amen. It's a flame of fire. His eyes, in other words, he's bringing down justice and judgment. It's not going to be good. And they know that.
Mm-hmm.
Not good at all. All right. So then, number 10, what does it mean practically for Jesus to have on his head many crowns?
Every mate will submit to him.
How about
Everyone will bow.
How about that one?
He is Lord.
Amen. Amen. Ready or not. And I don't think necessarily willingly.
No.
But, especially the cabal.
Oh, yeah. Well, now the human leaders, now you can have one side say how wonderful they are, the other side pick them apart. There will be no doubt when he is in control. Nobody, like it or not, that is...
Right, exactly.
He will be known.
And that's what the crowns are for, that he's over. He's the one over all. Many crowns.
Oh.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And then number 11. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on he had a name written that no man knew but he himself?
All
It's a name that we don't know, but it's biblical.
Right.
And it's something that once the name is given, we will all know it.
Right. Right. And I put in the book that I do believe is that is a biblical name.
Yes, it's a biblical name.
Yeah, that's what I think too. So, but only he at this point knew that name. So, and that's another thing that's really interesting about that song. Have you guys noticed in that song, Nessun Dorma, she doesn't know his name. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole point of the song. She's trying to figure out what is his name. What's his name? Someone tell if she can just know his name, then she doesn't have to marry him. And he's like, hoping for the day to break, the dawn to break, so that she'll have to go ahead and marry him, and that she won't find out the name before dawn, the break of dawn. Very, very, very interesting song. All right, so then number 13.
Did we do 12?
Oh, no, we're going to do 12 now.
Okay, let's do 12.
Okay. Okay, go.
What does he was clothed with robe dipped in blood indicate? He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God.
Yes.
It's not only his blood, it's the blood of his enemies.
How about that? I'm going to look that up. I'm going to look that up. I didn't look that up before. Let me go ahead and look that up right now. Isaiah 63, is that what it says?
We don't have it written there in here.
Okay. But, I have it on.
But I think that is.
In number 12, Isaiah 63. Yeah. All right. So. This is the one. Ooh, this one is about his robe dipped in the blood of his enemies. Who is this who comes from Edom, from the city of Bozra, whose clothing is stained red? Who is this in royal robes marching in his great strength? It is I, the Lord, announcing your salvation, your rescue. It is I, the Lord, who has the power to save. Of course, praise the Lord, as they were saying earlier in Revelation 19, that he alone has the power to do this. Why are your clothes so red? As if you've been treading out grapes. Imagine this, you've got clothing and you've been treading grapes, you know, if you're squishing them with your feet and all that is going up on your robe. Think of that as the picture is the bloodbath. This Isaiah 63 is out about the bloodbath. This is what Revelation 19 is about. I've been treading the winepress alone. No one was there to help me. In my anger, I trampled my enemies as if they were grapes. In my fury, I've trampled my foes. I was trying to make it bigger. Mm-hmm. Trampled my foes. Their blood has stained my clothes. For the time has come for me to avenge my people, to ransom them from their oppressors. I was amazed to see that no one intervened to help the oppressed. So I myself stepped in to save them with my strong arm, and my wrath sustained me. I crushed the nations. He's talking about the Satan worshipers. I crushed the Satan worshipers in my anger, and I made them stagger and fall to the ground, spilling their blood upon the earth. This is what we're seeing. This is what we're going to experience. These evildoers, these Satan worshipers, are going to be crushed like grapes. This is why he's talking about this. His robe is dipped in blood. I don't think you're going to hear that in the modern church. It's just not talked about, but this is clearly through the Word of God. Clearly he is angry with the Satan worshipers. He's not angry with people indiscriminately throughout the world. He is angry at the ones who knowingly have sided with demons to destroy humanity. There you go. All right, so this is what Isaiah 63 is all about, and this is what Revelation 19:13 is all about. He wore a robe dipped in blood. His title was the Word of God. Amazing. He is coming to rescue us from these evildoers. He knows that these people are evil. And super, super quick, yesterday, a dear friend of mine was saying, can you believe that JD was saying something mean about the Chinese? What she doesn't understand is these people are, and not the regular Chinese people, okay, not them. I'm talking about the ones at the CCP operatives. These people have joined forces with demons. I don't know if you guys know this. I just posted this on the social media I just posted that that Mark Zuckerberg is going before the FTC, I think Monday, the 14th of April, and he's in big trouble because it should be proven soon that he was helping the Chinese Communist Party and against us, censoring us on social media and helping them to win the AI war. It's a battle of information to have all, they would gather all this information and continually funneling it to the CCP so that they would win the AI war. So the point is, these people have knowingly sided with demons to destroy humanity. You know, these people are not nice people. And for someone to say, oh, they're being mean, you don't understand. These people have a gun to your head. And most people don't realize that. You know, you guys do. I'm preaching to the choir, but you guys understand that these people we're messing with are not nice people. These people are evil. And so this is what we're up against. All right. His title was the Word of God. So there's yet another name for him. So let's go ahead and number 13, we'll talk about all the different names. That's not what I wanted to do. All the different names for our Lord Jesus. Go ahead and shout out one for me.
Okay, the Lamb.
Yes.
The one who gave his life for us because he loves us so much.
Yes, 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 the Lamb. I'm still looking to see. Is anybody, so you guys put some over on the chat for us? Yes, I was just reading some of the chat over here. Yeah, dipped in the blood of his enemies. Thank you, D. Reese. Yes. How awesome that his first advent was his own blood shed for us, and this advent, it's our enemy's blood. Yes, thank you, Miss Jacobs. He's destroying them to rescue us once again, this time from our enemies. Praise the Lord. Yes, what a Savior. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you. Great, great point. Yeah, great insight. Thank you. All right. He's always rescuing us, isn't he? He does. Yes, and this treason. And so that's one of the hardest things for people to grapple with. It just can't imagine people being that evil. All right. They have literally
we have worked Faithful and True. There's a number saying Faithful and True.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
And so the Faithful and True, the one we can count on.
Yes.
We have King of Kings. That's true. We got King of Kings, the one who every knee will bow and submit to.
Yes.
The
Lord of Lords.
Name only he knows.
Yes.
Name only he understands.
Right. Right. And you guys got them all.
Yeah. Lord of Lord, Word of God.
In Revelation 19. All those names. All those names for our Lord Jesus. They're all representing him. The Lamb. Yep. Faithful and True. The name only he understands. The Word of God. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Awesome. Yes, he's also a good shepherd, but that one's not in Revelation 19. I don't think. All right. Yeah, he does have a lot of names. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bread of Life
I am.
Yeah, the I am. I mean, he's got a lot of names. But in just this one chapter, he's got all these names. All right. So if anybody wants to put on there what they think maybe his name that no one understands might be, you can go ahead and put that one. All right. So now number 14.
Who are the armies which are in heaven following him on white horses? And what does it mean that they are dressed in the finest of pure white linen? The armies of heaven dressed in the finest of pure white linen followed him on white horses.
Yes. Who do you think that is?
Our holy angels, us warriors, fighting to save humanity. And I don't know. We have linen as the clothing of priests.
Right. And he told us that we are going to be priests unto God. Mm-hmm. You know, that we'll rule and reign with him as priests. So it would make sense that we're in pure white linen. The symbolism, of course, that we are, you know, speaking the truth to the people in this world. That's really our role, as we talked about when we did Revelation 14, about the 144,000 are those who are truth tellers. They tell the truth. They tell no lies. And we're priests. And to bring people to God, to go, hey, listen to what God is doing. That's what we do. It doesn't really matter what outfit you have on. It's not about that. It's about, you know, are you his representative on this earth to rescue humanity? And that's what we're doing. So these are the armies. dressed in the finest of pure white linen. Remember that, you guys. And we're on these white horses alongside him. Keep that in the front of your mind, because that really keeps you encouraged that you are doing something absolutely amazing right now. All right, so number 15.
What does our Lord Jesus do with a sword in his mouth? How does he rule with a rod of iron? And how does he release the fierce wrath of God? From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press.
That's right. Amen. Okay, what's he doing with that sword?
Striking down the wicked.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He's striking them down. And so, but with out of his mouth, so mm-hmm. it's from the truth, right? It's from the truth. This is like the Bible is, it says it's our sword, right? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really, there's not blades in your Bible, right? So it's because it divides between the truth and lies. And our Lord is exposing all these wicked evildoers. We never knew what they were doing. And he's doing that. He's striking them down with the truth. That's what we do every day. You guys continue to, I really appreciate you sharing. Don't just read the post that I put over on social media. Share, because people need to know this truth. And sometimes it's in like a little cute, catchy meme that people are like, oh, that's really some of the best way to get the truth out is with these memes. And that's what we're doing. This whole movement, we were told to be part of just getting this truth out, and that's what we're trying to do. All right, so how does he rule them with this rod of iron? I would not want someone coming at me with a rod of iron. So what is that? How does he rule them with an iron rod?
His judgment.
Yeah.
Are we still on 15?
Yeah. So that would,
Okay. Well, I think that's how he releases his judgment on the Antichrist, on the New World Order. There's going to be no room for them to resist, I guess is the word.
And this is the thing. When someone comes at you with a rod of iron, you have no choice. Just like we have seen these MS-13, these gang members, and they are put in irons. Mm-hmm. They're put in leg irons, and they're hauled right down to prison. Mm-hmm. And they have no choice. But even these people who are bad to the bone, bad people who have done such wickedness, I don't even want to say it. And they are being ruled with the iron. Praise the Lord. This judgment is going to fall, and there's nothing that can stop it. And this is what our Lord Jesus is bringing down. Praise the Lord. How does he release that fierce wrath of God? And it's through the justice system. This is what we're seeing. They were, we were told that it was going to be, God was going to do lightning bolts and nuclear holocaust. And that's not what he's doing. He's going to rule them with judgment and justice. And that's, we're going to have, that's why our enemies will be gone. They won't be able to be out here harming people anymore and deceiving and using our government money for wrong things. All right, number 16.
What does our Lord Jesus' titles indicate? On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords.
Right.
It means that he has authority over everyone, Yes. Everything.
Yes, amen. All of it. Exactly. I love it. I'm so glad that our best friend is also the king of the world. He is the one, as you said earlier, Tammy, so aptly that every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he is the Lord. All right, number 17.
What command is given by the angel to the vultures? Who are the vultures? Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky, come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared. Come and eat the flesh of kings, generals, and strong warriors, of horses and their riders, and of all humanity, both free and slaves, small and great.
Uh-oh. Yeah. So what command did he say? He said, come and gather. Come and gather.
He's given them the command to devour their enemies.
That's right. To
annihilate them.
Right. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing every day. And, so we just keep... that's our charge is that we devour them and we expose them. How do we do that? We're literally exposing their crimes and bringing them to judgment. You know, I just really appreciate, you know, like I was just listening to Tom Fitton, how he's worked tirelessly to try to, you know, dig up this information, get the evidence and pass it over to, you know, whoever, you know, can hold someone accountable. And that's really what this is all about. That's with every cabinet meeting is so exciting. Do you see, you know, that they're, what they're doing to sort everything out. It's really, really exciting to watch, that each one of them is sorting things out in the health, you know, with RFK in the health department and the Department of Homeland Security. I mean, each one of them going and straightening everything out. So all of us doing our job, and our role is to support them with sharing truth on social media, because that helps to push the needle, helping everyone to understand why this is so important, and why this has to be done. All right. Of all humanity, both free and slave, small and great. So let me see what this was. Okay. So this is, some of these people are great, you know, people like, you know, the high and mighty, and some of them are the lowly, you know, small people like those ones on the MS-13 who got hauled down to the prison in El Salvador. You know, all these evildoers, we are destroying all of them. We've got to get rid of all of them. And I just posted this also, that 17 told us we cannot expect to have these arrests of the ones at the top until we get rid of these, their support people, the MS-13. All right. All right. So that's what we're doing. Now, number 18.
Revelation 19:18 is quite picturesque. What is this verse describing? It's describing that the judgment that they're going to receive, they're going to get a public shaming.
Yep.
Some life imprisonment, yep. Some death, because treason is death.
Yes.
And we're not going to be holding back our judgment.
Right. Right. See, that's what it was. It was even talking about that. What Zuckerberg did was treason.
Yeah. And that word's getting used a lot.
It's getting used a lot. It is.
Yes.
It's time. Uh-huh. Humanity must know the truth so that they will agree to that. We all have to agree that these people have done treason against their people, you know, and so more, you know, people are seeing more of the truth about what they did with the jab. I didn't get to post it yet, but I just saw a clip of RFK where he was talking about how they knowingly did this. The protocol for COVID was to kill. It was to kill. And that's where people have to understand that for them to go and take someone and let the sickness fester, not do anything, and then when it gets really, really bad, then to put them on remdesivir and a ventilator is ventilator. That the whole thing is a recipe to kill them. It's straight up murder. So this is, you know, this is treason against our country to have this as our protocol. It's straight up, you know, treason to have our people go around the world and actually use them as cannon fodder. You know, all these types of things. We're all realizing it now. All right, so that is number 18. Quite picturesque, though. Come eat the flesh of kings. But yeah, obviously, it's about destroying them with the truth. All right, number 19.
What is happening in Revelation 19:19? Who are the forces arrayed for battle? Then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army.
That's what we're doing.
Yep, everyone's in that line for war.
Every day. And it's not a battle with guns and bullets, praise the Lord. It's a battle of truth. Mm-hmm. It's a battle of truth. We're getting the truth out. We have to win with truth. And this whole thing about the tariffs is about the truth that these people have tried to destroy America by taking, you know, away all of our assets. And they've tried to use that to enslave humanity because they didn't have the rules in these other countries to protect the children and to protect the people. And so that's why they had, you know, have had these cheap goods. And now with the tariffs, that is a cudgel. That is a weapon to stop this evil all over the world. Thank you, Lord. And this is a big part of the battle. As we talked about last week. We talked about the whole thing coming down. All the ship captains and all throwing dust on their heads. They're so sad because their whole kingdom is falling apart. And that's what we're seeing. We're witnessing that. Clearly, we saw that. If you didn't see that one, definitely go back and check that video. It was on, let's see. When you go right here to the videos, the playlist, let me just pull it up super quick. Just scroll right down to the live end time studies. And you scroll all the way down and you'll see right here. It talks about... It says the unpardonable sin, but in that chapter, it talks about that the shipbuilders are being, you know, decimated. And it says here, she brewed a cup of terror for others, so brewed twice as much for her. How they're being brought down and can't continue their evil things that they've done to enslave humanity. All right, next, the number 20.
Who is taken in Revelation 19:20, and what happens to them? Does that give us insight on when Jesus said one will be taken? And the beast was captured, taken, and with him the false prophet who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast and who had worshipped his statue. Both the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur.
Right. There's a lot in that one short passage, but you guys already know that those who accepted the mark of the beast, it's not about a chip, it's not about a jab, it's not about any of those things. It's those who sided with the Satan worshipers, those who have joined in league with the demons to destroy humanity. They've joined this horrible club, right? And so these people who've done this, who've joined literally in league with demons, you know, are in big trouble. So it says here, the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, miracles that deceived all who accepted the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. So there are those at the top of this pyramid who knowingly are, you know, worshipping Satan. And there are a lot of minions who joined in league, but they didn't necessarily understand exactly what it was. You know, they're just a useful idiot. You know, but the Lord's going to sort all that out. You know, whether they knew it, they knowingly did it or not. We're going to get to that here in just a second about some, actually in verse 21. Because I think there's some who are just, again, these useful idiots. All right. Anyway, the beast, which is the New World Order, Antichrist, this you can call it a cabal, you can call it this mafia, okay, and we're seeing that. President Trump has exposed that, right, this past week with all, you know, everybody in the whole wide world is saying, okay, we'll agree, we'll go ahead and fall into line and pay the tariffs because that's fair, but except for one, you know, that tells you right there, these are the problem, these are the troublemakers right here, and so this is really the head of this New World Order. And they've used the other countries to ship their goods or whatever and maybe had some, I'm sure, slave labor. But the point is, this New World Order group, this Antichrist group, the ones who hate God, who are working against humanity, they're captured. That's what it says in Revelation 19, verse 20. Write that one down. Revelation 19, verse 20. They're captured and the false prophet. The false prophet is not just the church, the religious groups that have been used to help them, but also anyone who's a false teacher, a false, telling any falsehood. The emphasis really is on the falsity. Someone who's telling false things to help them. Think of a Fauci putting out false information. Think of the media putting out false information so that'll help the beast to do these miracles, right? And so this beast is finally captured. And they were thrown alive. All these who knowingly did this, knowingly participated in this, they're thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. In other words, into hell. This is the judgment that is placed on them. They are in no deals at all. They've been given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. We've seen that for years. They were given opportunities beforehand. We've seen it over 7 years, haven't we? We've seen all this, and they don't get any more chances because they have literally sided with demons. They've chosen to do this to humanity. But in verse 21, check this one out. Go ahead.
Is there a difference in the punishment received by the beast and false prophet in Revelation 19:20 and the punishment received by the New World Order army in Revelation 19:21? If so, what is it? Their entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came from the mouth of the one riding the white horse, and the vultures all gorged themselves on the dead bodies.
All right. Interesting, because it says in verse 20 that the false prophet, the beast and the false prophet were thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, into hell. But here in verse 21, it's saying that they were killed. This their army was killed. Okay, they're minions. They're going to be punished. I believe that what this means is they'll be punished, but they're not tossed into hell. Okay, they don't get an eternal damnation over it. So it, you know, and bottom line, the Lord is just. The Lord is fair. And if someone did these things and they did not know that they, you know, what they were doing, maybe they took some money. Maybe they stole some money, but they weren't literally intending to side with demons to destroy humanity. Then the Lord is not going to punish them with eternal hell fire. You know, unfortunately, the way that the it's taught in a lot of religious circles of all stripes is that God is just ready at any moment to just cast people into hell. He just loves it. That's one of his favorite things to do. And anyone is, you know, just looks at him wrong, he's going to go to hell. That's not the truth. The Lord is very slow. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He is very slow to punish someone in hell. Even these who had done some evil things, they will be punished. It says killed by the sharp sword. The sharp sword of truth that came out of his mouth, right? The truth is there exposed. As you were reading earlier, Tammy, there'll be public shame, and they'll be brought, you know, probably put in prison for the rest of their lives, maybe. I don't know. It depends on each person. But they will not, you know, and we're the vultures here. And we're gorging ourselves on their dead bodies. We're exposing all of this, every one of us. I mean, just 1,000 things every day. You guys know how much I post every day. We're exposing this and we're exposing that. We're trying to help everyone understand who these people are. And most people are still watching the mainstream media don't understand this. But the ones in alternative media understand. And we're gorging ourselves. We're like, okay, there's more information about, like, that just came out with the Crossfire Hurricane stuff. We're going to be talking about that and the JFK files and all these things. We're just gorging ourselves on all this truth. All right, so I hope that makes sense. I think that's what it is. You guys tell me in the chat what you think. If you think I'm right, or if I'm off base, or what do you think is happening? If there is a difference between their punishment. All right, number 22. What happens to Satan? What happens to him? And now we're transitioning now into Revelation chapter 20. Okay, so I didn't tell you at the beginning, but we're not just doing Revelation chapter 19. We're doing chapter 20, also a portion of chapter 20, because it really, you know, it kind of completes the story of what's going on in this section. Go ahead.
Oh, I do want to say it, but I just real quickly wanted to add to yours, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah.
The Left Behind series, that makes it so not right. People have got that movie in their head, and it's just like when Trump said, "You don't care about Hollywood's version."
That is awful. Right.
That's okay. There's
I've heard of worse things. You're right. He said, "I've heard of worse things."
Yes.
Right, because we know that a lot of these have been used to deceive the masses.
Well, we think that we're going to be gone, and they're going to stay, but we're getting the kingdom ready for 1,000 years of peace.
Right, exactly. And the ones who are leaving, right? And I think I talked about that. Isn't that coming up?
Well, we did, but we didn't. You said one will be taken, one will be left, and it's in a different time. That's why I just wanted to clarify.
Oh, okay. Oh, thank you for saying. Okay, I skipped that because I got off on another subject. But yeah, this passage right here, what about one being taken? Here it's saying the beast was taken or captured. Right. Yeah. And so that's very good. Thank you for bringing that up. Yes, that this is very much like, and I actually want to bring this up from Luke chapter 17. I think it's Luke 17, where it talks about, here we go. Thank you. That night, two people will be asleep in one bed. One will be taken, the other left. Women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. And they've made our minds think that that taken is where one's taken to heaven and the other one's left to be burning up in a nuclear fireball. But this passage right here in Revelation 19, where it talks about the beast being taken or the beast being captured, it shows you that this is the ones who are taken to judgment. And the ones who are left to do a good job and left to have a beautiful world where we have peace and health and wealth. All right. Hopefully, yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. Thank you for not letting us pass that until we got that ironed out. Thank you so much, Tammy. She's always watching to make sure I don't forget anything. All right. Yay. I appreciate it. I really do. You need to follow me every day, everywhere I go. All right.
Now let's see what happens to Satan.
Yes. Now let's see what happens to him.
Okay. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven with the key to the bottomless pit and a heavy chain in his hand. He seized the dragon, that old serpent, who is the devil, Satan, and bound him in chains for 1,000 years. The angel threw him into the bottomless pit, which he then shut and locked.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's the dragon. Does anybody find it very interesting that the CCP is represented as a dragon? Interesting. And of course, I'm not picking on the Chinese people. I'm picking on the CCP, which is an arm of the New World Order. That's their financial, boondoggle. Yeah. How they've taken away 90,000 factories from America, which is outrageous. All right. So that is chapter 20, verses 1-3. So what happens to him? He's locked up.
Yeah, he's thrown into the bottomless pit.
Yes. So he's locked up. So so at this point he's not destroyed. That happens later. We're going to do that, I think, next week. But on this one, when you've got, he's locked up, he's no longer able to deceive. That's the point. It says he's bound in chains. The angel threw him into the bottomless pit and shut and locked the door. So he cannot do all this mayhem on the earth anymore. Actually, the beast and the false prophet never come out again. So Satan will never be able to use the beast and the false prophet to do his dirty work ever, ever again. Praise the Lord for that. So so how long is he gone?
1,000 years.
Yay! 1,000 years. And I think that's probably pretty accurate timing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you think, oh, well, is it symbolism? It could be, but I think it's going to be likely 1,000 years. All right. During that period, Satan can no longer do what?
Attack or deceive.
Yes. Can you imagine? No more deception. No more deception for 1,000 years. Just hard to imagine after all the deception. But I can get an idea, an inkling, because we see what's happening, for example, on social media now. A lot of times something will be put out there and immediately it's like, okay, this was, everybody realizes that's not the truth. And they put out the truth about it. And the truth always dispels the lies. It's really great. All right. So 24, what happens after Satan is cast out?
So Satan could not deceive the nations anymore until 1,000 years were finished. Afterward, he must be released for a little while.
All right. So this is a lot longer. This is a lot farther into the future. So don't worry about it because it's not going to happen next week. But it's going to be, he's going to have to be released. Probably not my most favorite verse in the Bible. Okay, but I do understand why. We'll talk about that next week. But the point is, he has to be destroyed completely. Right now, he'll just be locked up and not able to deceive. But one day, he'll be destroyed completely, as well as death being destroyed completely. Okay, or gone and never to come back again. And no more death. All right, so not be able to deceive, though. But he'll be released for a little while. That's during the Gog and Magog, but that's going to be a couple chapters from now, the Gog and Magog battle. Okay, 25.
Put in your own words what John sees in Revelation 24. Then I saw thrones, and the people sitting on them had been given the authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony about Jesus and for proclaiming the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his statue, nor accepted his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They all came to life again, and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years.
Yes, thank you so much. And before we go, before we talk about this passage, I do want to say, Dew 59 had a great, great point. I wanted to bring this up. Let me read the passage that Dew 59 put. They said, one will be taken and the other left. And they said, where, Lord? He said, where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Thank you so much, Dew 59, for bringing that up. Thank you. That's great. I appreciate you bringing that up, because it really tells you that this is, it's the very thing that it's talking about. Thank you so much. Jesus is talking about the vultures. The angel told the people, come to devour the kings of the world, come for the vultures to come and devour these people. Well, you know, it's symbolically speaking, but it's very exactly what the Lord Jesus told in, I think that's Luke 17. He says, where the corpse is, the vultures will gather. And I'm like, all my life, I'm like, what is this vultures? Who are these vultures? What is this talking about? It's us. And we are taking them to judgment. We are the vultures taking them to judgment. You know, all of humanity is taking these evildoers to judgment because we're calling them out. And so we have gathered together. It gives a whole different meaning. Here we are gathered together, right? We're gathered to destroy the evildoers. So anyway, thank you for bringing it up. All right. Now, this is the hard part. This one is the hardest verse in this whole section. Revelation 20, verse 4. It's beautiful, but it's like, how to decode this? And I've thought about it and prayed about it and thought about it and looked at it. And I'll tell you where I'm standing right now. Some of these things in the book of Revelation, I'm like, this is it. I'm telling you, this is it. This is the truth. There's no doubt about it. This one, I'm like, I don't know if it's symbolic or literal. Okay. I saw thrones. The people sitting on them had been given the authority to judge. Okay. Clearly, as it says, this is question 26. Those who are sitting on the thrones, are judging the evildoers. We're judging you and I on a daily basis, put out on social media, how we're judging what should be done about the border, what should be done about the schools, what should be done about the, you name it. Okay, we're not having some king in some lofty tower telling us, ruling from on high, you have to do this and you have to do that, or Democrat Party saying you have to do this or that, or the Omni Party telling you. We are judging. We are having power to the people. Okay, so that one, that part I know. Okay, we're sitting on these thrones. We're going to be, you know, we're going to be free people, not led around by these criminals. Okay, but this is the part. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony about Jesus and for proclaiming the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his statue or accepted his mark on their foreheads or their hands. So people who have not joined in this club, this satanic club, okay? So these are the ones who were beheaded. Now, first question is, were they beheaded? Is this literally people who have died? Is that who we're talking about here? Or is it people who have, you know, like us, you know, been canceled, been, you know, lambasted for telling the truth? Okay? So, it'd be very interesting if you had, you know, because the very next verse says, they all came to life again, and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So, I mean, I'm if the Lord Jesus wants to raise people from the dead, I'm up for that. That's cool. That's fine. But maybe it's more that it's symbolic for those of us in this battle who've been struggling against the evildoers and have, like a Mike Lindell, lost $60 million. I say lost, but he spent $60 million and just this week was vindicated by Tulsi Gabbard saying, yep, the machines have been hacked. And all this time he's been telling this, and now it's finally coming out. Okay, so, you know, It wouldn't it be great if, you know, if he gets this blessing? He certainly deserves it. That he's, you know, coming to life, you know, that if you remember in Revelation 11, it talks about that we've come to life, you know, this is that God breathed life into us. So is it that? Is it people being literally brought back to life and resurrected? I don't know. Either way, it's people are come into these positions of authority, whether they were dead and they're back alive. Either way, we are coming into these positions of authority and ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. Whoever it is, those who deserve it are going to get to rule and reign with Christ. Okay? That's the great news. And we'll have, instead of having these evildoers rule us, we'll have righteous people in every position. Like in verse 20, question 27, you think the ability to judge is only in the courts? And I think the answer is no, it's all kinds of different things. Or are these given the ability to have good judgment on how everything will be run, from education to entertainment to what else? To government, to manufacturing, to everything. Imagine every person in every position being blessed by the Lord to do this for the good of the people and for the good of humanity instead of to try to destroy humanity. Can we do that? Imagine that. How awesome will that be? All right, did you have anything else to add to that before I move on?
Nope, that's good.
All right, so then you guys can put in the chat what you guys think that passage is talking about. All right, so the defining characteristics of those people that we just read about in Revelation 20, verse 4, says that they did not worship the beast. They did not join in league with these evildoers. That's the defining characteristic about them. They spoke the truth. They maybe got canceled, and they might have even gotten killed. Think about Breitbart. Think about JFK. Think about these people. And it could be some of those people. It could be.
Mm-hmm.
It could be. I'm fine with that. So you guys can, again, put in the chat what you think. Okay, so number 29. Could you read this passage? This is a very, very interesting passage. Go ahead.
Wow. There are special blessings for those who are part of the first resurrection. Uh-oh. What are those blessings listed in Revelation 25 and 6? This is the first resurrection. The rest of the dead did not come back to life until the 1,000 years had ended. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. For them, the second death holds no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him 1,000 years.
All right, so this might even be the more difficult passage. Okay, so this is this first resurrection. Okay, we don't really use that terminology a lot, but I want to show you in 1 Corinthians 15:23, talking about the first resurrection. And so we talk about it a little bit more here, I think, than most, because we talk about the Omer that you see behind me. And we count the Omer. This is, again, going back to why it's so important to celebrate the festivals, because they give you so much insight on what you're, on the word. All right, so this is, it says, the first resurrection. What do you mean this is the first resurrection? That they came to life and they reigned with him 1,000 years. So this is the first resurrection. And it says the rest of the dead did not come back to life until the 1,000 years had ended. So that really makes you think that it's people literally coming back from the dead. But it may be that those who have did not listen, did not have their lamps turned up, you know, and that they did not get to, they don't get to participate in the life extension. It could be that. You guys can tell me in the chat what you think. So the first resurrection, it says, blessed and holy are those who share in this first resurrection. For them, the second death holds no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. They've proven themselves, whether it's a JFK or a Breitbart, or whether it's people just who are in this movement who have stood up and proven themselves, like a Mike Lindell, who've proven themselves to be great patriots, you know, that they will receive this amazing blessing of this first resurrection. That they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign for 1,000 years. I really do think it would be so wonderful, you know, to have people like that who can say, I was there when we destroyed the beast. And I can testify that people were, you know, they literally put out a jab. I can testify that they literally started wars. Because imagine after 1,000 years of having no wars, people are like, was there really wars? Were there really? And we're like, yes, they really were. It would be great to have you know, just like if George Washington was right here and he was able to testify to you, or Moses or Abraham, and say, yes, this really did happen. Of course, we have the word. But imagine if you have these good people who've proven themselves, and that everybody knows that they are superheroes, and that they over them, the second death holds no power. Then people say, well, I'm going to listen to them because they're like 500 years old and they were there and they know. Okay, so here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. There's an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest, and then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. So he's back, and it says that he will raise these also. So he was raised. How was he raised? As a physical body. They could touch him. He could eat fish. I mean, he really was a real, they could lay hold of him and so, you know, and touch his flesh. So he was the first fruits. And if you remember, when we study the Omer, we count the Omer starting on Resurrection Day. And we count one Omer and then two Omer and then all throughout until the day of Pentecost. This is a picture of the Lord Jesus selecting his people, his army who would rise up. And it's a jubilee bundle. It's that we're basically the jubilee bundle to set the world free. That's what this awakening army is about. We're very, very, very blessed to be part of this. Never doubt it. I know we've taken it on the chin. I know we've gone through all kinds of things. We've maybe lost jobs and lost friends and lost family and all these different things. But we're here alive and we are very, very blessed. And he's telling us right here in Revelation 20 how blessed we are. He says that these people, those who have been faithful, and it's all his choice of who he puts in this blessing bundle, they will reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, it says the second death holds no power over them. So we are going to see. The first death is the fall into sin and separation from God. And we're restored to our relationship with God through Christ. And he resurrects us in our spirit. But this is where we're resurrected in our bodies. Some people will be. If you guys have any other ideas about this, I'm ready to hear it. But I can't see any other way to explain it. And it's very, very similar to what it says, like I said, right here in 1 Corinthians 15, 23. Christ was raised as the first one to get his new body. And then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. There you go. There you go. Explain in your own words how this first resurrection is pictured by the Omer festival. Remember, the Omer grain is hand-selected and counted for 7 weeks, culminating on the harvest day. The harvest. Remember in that Revelation 14 talks about the harvest of grain. And everyone awakening. This harvest day of Pentecost Jubilee, the Omer bundle for the first resurrection, is hand chosen by the Lord himself and consists of the 144,000 in the Battle of Armageddon. And you can see Leviticus 23 for more details if you want to learn more about the Omer. Or, you know, you need to start getting your Omer together, because we're going to start counting here as of Resurrection Day. All right, anything else to add on 31, Miss Tammy?
Not unless you want to go on a date. So he counted us to fight for seven weeks or 7 years.
Okay. Yeah. So I just think that it's cool that he's hand selected us. I just everyone here, just really consider yourself very blessed of the Lord that you were chosen for this task. And that helps to take some of the sting out of it when you think about, you know, things that you have lost. But everything that you've lost will be restored to you. So don't let that worry you. All right, read number 32 for us, please.
Okay, what could that mean for those who have been part of the Great Awakening and who fought in the digital battle of Armageddon?
So it could mean that we could have these immortal bodies that over us. Imagine that, you guys, that the second death would hold no power. It would make sense to me that we would need to have people who were here and who will live as long as Methuselah, who can say, yes, I was there. You know, I was there, and this is what happened. And this is not, you know, fake news. This really did happen. These people, and they were cast into the pit, and they were gone, and then peace settled over the earth. Because imagine after, you know, a couple hundred years of peace on earth, and everyone has everything that they need, they'll be like, oh, that, surely that didn't really happen. And yes, yes, it did. It would be very, very cool if he did it that way. And then also giving people a vision of, we will have, everyone will have these resurrected bodies in heaven, and in heaven on earth, when heaven comes to earth. How do you like that, you guys? What y'all think about that? I want to hear what you think on the chat, because this is a very, very interesting passage. Now you see why I wanted to join together Revelation 19 and that first portion of Revelation 20. It's a lot to think about, a lot to soak in. So you guys tell me in the chat what you think. And so we're going to go ahead and pray, and we're going to jet out. And all right, let's thank you again, Lord. We just ask you to just help us to understand the truth, guide us into all truth. This sounds, to be honest, it sounds too good to be true. But when we realize what you've done for us on the cross, Lord Jesus, that you died for us on the cross and that you raised us in our spirits, we can see that's, we can have, you could raise our bodies too. You certainly could. You can do all things. And however you choose to do it, we are really happy if you choose us to be your, just like you've chosen us to be your warriors in this battle, if you want us to be with you here for 1,000 years to be your, to rule and reign with you, we're happy to do that too. We are at your service and just so, so thankful that you are setting this world free from these evildoers. Oh, we cannot wait, Lord. We just, when the day comes, we'll be rejoicing just like they did in the beginning of Revelation 19. Just praise the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. Lord, I just, again, thank you for everyone on the battalion. I thank you for how you are using each one of their lives for these amazing purposes. And Lord, just continue to bless them, to guide them, to protect them, to provide, to just let them know each day that you are right there by their side and that you will never, never leave us. And we just cannot wait for every knee to bow and every tongue to confess that you are the Lord. You are the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And Lord, just whisper in our ears that name. If you want to tell us, we're here. We're listening. We love you and we praise you, and we pray all these things in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. All right, guys, I love you. We're going to be on here for just a little bit, and then we'll go. And then, like I said, I'll do something later for Passover. If you want to get your Passover together, grab that in the chat before you go. Grab that link. I'll put it in one more time before I go. And I think that's it. We love you guys. Right, Tammy, you love them?
I do.
I love all of our battalion. And we'll talk to you later.
See you later.